Hello, happy people. How y'all doing, man? My name's Ron, I'm a recovering addict. Whoa, hold on, wait a minute. Let's try that again. My name's Ron, I'm a grateful recovering addict. Yeah. You heard that? They call my name. Well, they might not be big for you all, but that's pretty big for where I come from. At the end, they ain't call my name when they see me coming. They see me coming, they say, oh, here come this mother. You know. They said, oh, shit. It had gotten so bad, they had begun to pray, you know. Oh, my God, not him again. Oh, Lord, please help me. It was real bad at the end, man. You know, I want to welcome the newcomers, and I want to welcome all the old-timers and the new-timers, too. There's somebody that's been here before, had time, but you went back up, but you knew again. We welcome you, too. You know, I want to thank God, man, and thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And if you're a member, if you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous, you truly understand what I mean when I say thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. You truly have changed my life and get it back on track. I want to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac Regions and all the committee who helped put this program, this committee together. You know, I want to give them a hand. I want to thank you all for being here, too. You know, sometimes we are our own biggest critics. And if you here, give yourself a hand, man. You know, they gave me a topic and living without the use of drugs, you know, and I came in here. You know, I was coming in. We got some people at the door with the hug people, the hug squad. And the young lady, she grabbed me and she hugged me. She said, welcome, and she said, oh, you smell good. She said, what's that you got on? I said, that ain't nothing. I took a bath today. She looked at me and she said, you know, you so crazy. I said, I know that too, right? So I'm not confused. I'm in the right place, man. You know, a little bit of how I got here, you know, I thank God for the people that asked me to come out and share with you all, man. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to do anything today besides get out, man. I want to thank a lot of people, you all, that came out here. I thank my sponsor, David M. He's sitting here. God put him in my life, and I didn't, you know, a lot of stuff. David, I thank you, man, for helping me along the spiritual journey. I have another sponsor, Dolce Martin. She's not here. She said I can call her whole name. And a lot of you all, you know, a lot of you old-timers, and thank you, Vic, and, you know, Rude. You know, I can name a whole bunch of you all, man. My friend Bomani, we prayed over in the corner, and, you know, where God can use me as an instrument to soothe some of the, as an instrument to soothe the monsters that's within his room. Yeah, because if you was in his room, you definitely a monster. You was a monster. Yeah. So, you know, and I was going to share with you all for how I got here a little bit. You know, they asked me to come out and share, you know, and it's an honor and privilege to be asked to do anything today besides get out, you know. Yeah, they always put me out, you know, especially at the end. Yeah, at the end when all of it was gone. Because, you know, come to think about it, that's pretty much how I met you all. Hey, Edgy, how you doing? You know, that's pretty much how I met y'all. They had put me out, you know, after I spun all my money. You know, because I got some money and it went to the bank and, you know, I don't know about no money in the bank. Every time I get some money in my hand, I'll take it straight to the man. And they sent this little card and we had to get it activated. Now, I don't know about no computers and technology stuff. My sister, well, we went down on her job and she know about all that computer and high-tech stuff. The only thing I knew about a computer is how to sell it, and they probably was cheating me then. Just give me something to smoke. You know, I don't care what it is, right? And we had to call these people and verify if it's car holder right, and next thing I know, and I'm huffing and puffing because, you know, they started to ask all these questions to verify the car holder, like, you know, your name, your date of birth, and, you know, stuff. And I'm getting impatient, right? You know, because I'm caught up in the grip, right? Can't wait for them to put this money on the card and, you know, and I'm huffing and puffing, and she said, well, we got one more procedure to do before we activate the card. And I said, phew. And next thing I know, and she said, you got to give us a number that you can remember so we can activate the card. And I panicked by this time because I did a lot of drugs and I can't remember too much stuff, right? You know, I don't want to go there and I can't remember the card, the number, right? And I, you know, Addis, we real fast on our feet. We real strategic, right? I come up real fast. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4. She said, no, you can't use that number. That's too common. Now, Fear said, you got to give us another number. So I come up with another number. Fear and said it now. So I said, man, I got to come up with it. Because I don't want to go to the car to get to the bank and can't remember the number and go do what I do, right? So I come up with another number, right? And nah, I ain't going to tell y'all. Hell no. Nah. Hell no. Nah. I know y'all damn addicts. Y'all, I still got the car in my pocket. Y'all catch me outside and hit me over the head when you ain't dead yet and all that shit. No. But I know the number, right? So the lady say, well, the card is activated. And my stomach flipped, right? I ain't passed gas yet because I ain't got it right yet. You know how we do when you get that shit in your hand. You get to pass the gas, right? I'm standing there and I'm holding the card. I just hear all kind of thoughts going on in my head and stuff. The youngers doing wheelies on dirt bikes, the people talking and stuff, the monkeys doing flips in my head, and I know don't listen to the little monkeys right there now today, right? So I came up and my sister, she's sitting at the desk, she said, well, what you getting ready to do? I said, well, I'm gonna go see if it worked. Right? I'm caught up. And so I headed to the bank, and on my way to the bank, I come up with an idea. I said, I'm going to go to the bank, and I'm going to get some money out of them. I'm going to go over to this young lady house, and we're going to have some fun. And when I went over her house, and I spun all my money up, and it was all gone, and then she put me out. Yeah, I know I'm sweet, damn. That's all right. So I said, that's all right. I'll be. She laughing, too. Y'all got me. I said, that's all right. I'll be back. So I went back to the bank and I got some more money out. And on my way back up the hill to the apartment building, I come up with another idea all by myself. You know, I came up with it, right? I said, I ain't going over her house. I'm gonna go over his house. That's my man. And when I went over his house and I spun all my money up and it was all gone, and then he put me out. I'm saying, hold up, wait a minute, this ain't pretty late now. I need somewhere to chill out. Till in the morning I can get myself together, because I don't want to be walking the street getting in prayer or thinking somebody follow me. So I said, that's all right. I said, I'll be back. So I went to the bank and I got the last little bit of money out I had. And on my way back up the hill to the apartment building, I come up with a bright idea. Yeah, bright. This one sounds better than the other two. Yeah. See, because at the apartment building, it was a 4-unit building. They was doing everything in all of the units. People were all in the hallways. It was trashy green in the front yard. Smell of urine was coming from the basement. This is my kind of place. I fit right in. I said, I'm not going over her house. And I'm not going over his house. I'm going to go over their house. They all right. And when I went over their house and I spun all my money up, you know what they did. Yep, they put me out too. Yeah. That must have happened to some of y'all, huh? They say we more like the different. Yeah, they put me out. Well, they didn't literally put me out, but we know when it's time to go, you ain't got no more money, right? These people started to yard at the stuff right this here, right? And they started to stretch at the stuff right this here. And all of a sudden, one of them said, what you getting ready to do? I got real dumb. I said, huh? Like, I don't know what's getting ready to happen. And then the other one said, man, we're getting ready to go to bed. Right there, I immediately went into prayer. I said, oh, my God. Because I knew what was getting ready to happen. This stuff had been going on in my life 25 and 30 years. People would put me out after they spent all my money. You know, so I humbled myself and accepted the fact that I did it one more time. And I couldn't blame anybody except for the person who was responsible, and that was me. So I left. And I don't ever want to forget that day. I don't ever want to forget that day. You hear a lot of stuff around here. Don't keep talking about the past. You doom and repeat it. I don't care what anybody say. I'm going to continue to talk about that. I'm talking about at the end, when it was all gone. It was February 4th, 2011, 2:30, 3 in the morning. It was a cold and crisp night. You know, the sky was clear and the stars was out. I could have went back down on the strip and pimped my stem or sold a dummy or maybe even commit a criminal act, because those are the things that I do in the process of getting one more. But it was something different about that night. It was something different about that night. I had been put out many other nights, in the snow and the sleet and the rain, and the youngest telling you, wait right here, I'm going to bless you. But the weather wasn't that bad that night. It was something different about that night. And I was in a helpless and hopeless despair, lonely, real dark early in my life. And I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to continue living the way I was living. And I remember that my grandmother, she used to call on this name when things weren't going so well. And she would say, it's going to be all right. And I cried out. I said, I'm tired. God, please help me. And 2 days later, I wound up in a treatment facility. And that's where I met you all at. I knew I was going to get emotional. Man, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. God put this way. And after I said that prayer, and 2 days later, I wound up in a treatment facility, and that's where I met you all at. I found myself amongst a special group of people who had suffered long enough and who had found recovery. Y'all was laughing and smiling, and I didn't find anything funny. I was sitting on the front row. It was mandatory that we sit on the front row. I wanted to get in the back, get in the back, up under the chair, because I didn't want y'all to see the mess that I made in my life with alcohol and drugs. But it was mandatory that we sit on the front row. And they was up there laughing, and the lady was chanting me like she said, and I was sitting there, I was scared, I was lost, and I was confused, and I didn't know what to expect. And the bell rang, and it said, meeting time. And they said, is there anybody here for the first time like to be recognized by their first name and first name only? I wasn't going to raise my hand. I was scared. No. But by this time, some irresistible force on the inside compelled me to raise my hand. And it went up, and I grabbed it. I said, oh, my God. But she seen it. She seen it. She said, come on. And I stood up all arrogant. I said, my name is Ronald. I didn't say I was an addict, because I figured if I could just stop using drugs for a while. Yeah, just for a while. And y'all leave me alone, I'd be all right. But when I raised my hand and said my name was Ronald, all them people, all of y'all, at one time, all together, said, welcome. Keep coming back. Something happened right there. A seed had been planted on the inside, and it feel good. It feel good. Just for a moment. They was calling on other people. I ain't pay that stuff no mind. I said, they told me what. You know, yeah. See, because everywhere I went, I had to have my fist balled up with some crack inside of it just to get in the front door. And then when it was gone, they would put me out. But when I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't have anything. And they all said, welcome. And then when the meeting was over, y'all said, keep coming back. Disease, yeah. And the disease was saying, them people want something. Oh, man, and I shut down. But no, y'all never asked for nothing. Matter of fact, my friend Ron G was riding me in his big old Cadillac Escalade truck. They was buying me chicken wings. I was smoking these cigarettes up. I ain't had nothing. Yeah. I said, well, if they ask for something, I leave. They ain't never asked for nothing. They was giving me stuff. And I kept coming back, and I didn't know what it was. I picked up the basic text of treatment. I usually became a bad one, but I said, no, I don't need all that stuff right now because it's in me. The spirit is in me. Because if I don't pick the drugs up, it ain't going to get up in me. If I don't pick the literature up, it ain't going to get up in me. It's in me. These spiritual attributes are what God gave me. You know? It's what I'm standing up here, and I'm not confused about how I got here today. I remember one time, you know, being right here. I'm clear on how I got here. I'm not confused with that day about this. I've been given the gift of recovery. I've been given the gift of recovery. When you realize you've been given the gift of recovery, it's something that he wants you to do. He could have left me out there. But I kept coming back, but I had a reservation. I said, I ain't going to use no drugs. I'm going to sell some. Yeah, hold up. Wait a minute. Ron is saying, rid ourselves of all reservations until we're going to start the process of recovery. So, Ron, you can't sell no drugs. So I kept coming back, and I was sitting in there, but I finally got my hands on something real good. I tried everything, medicine, religion, psychiatry. Oh, none of that stuff worked for me. Well, none of it. I went to the psychiatrist, they gave me medicine, I didn't matter when I got high. Yeah. So I went to the church and everything. They put oil on me, baptized and all. I left right out there, went to the liquor store, got drunk with the stuff. Went to see the psychiatrist and all of that stuff. After I finished that lady, she said, oh my God, are you all right? Yeah. She didn't understand what was going on. But y'all did. And I can't, but it wasn't nothing sufficient until I got to you all. You all knew what was happening with me. My dilemma, what it was, and I kept coming back, but I finally got my hands on something real good. Something that worked for me in my life. Something beginning to happen. A lot of people say they found hope in the second step. I found hope in the first step.
I kept holding the first step. I always wanted to stop. I always wanted to stop. He said, we were released from our chains. And we found hope. Right there, I could not, now I found somebody to stop. I mean, I could stop. Yeah, because when I got here, man, wasn't nothing pretty. I caught hell out there. Pure hell. Wasn't nothing pretty. From the time I got here with you all, man, I just got out of a bout. I just got out of a barbaric bout with a disease of addiction, which caused an infection in my spirit where it began to saturate and manifest itself in all areas of my life where I became comfortable living with this ruthlessly dreaded disease called addiction. But it wasn't until I was tired. I was tired of all of that stuff. I was tired of people telling me what to eat, when to sleep, who I could talk to, judges and POs and yours, all of that stuff. I wanted to stop, but I didn't know how to stop. Because I would always listen to me, and I was the one that took me to go cop. Yeah. That's why now I just say relapse, never an accident. I don't say that to attack anybody, but we know we want you to stop that shit. Yeah. But once we get here, but we had it. What subject to relapse? If you relapse, get back as quickly as you can. It don't surprise us when addicts go out and use. That's what we do. Yeah, but the surprise is of who it is. Oh, man, well, yeah. It's hard getting back here. It ain't hard coming to the meeting, getting in here. I can come sit in the meeting. You got to get past us. You relapse. Yeah, you got to get past the backbiting, the gossip. You know that motherfucker using it. They be pointing at you, the finger pointing, the whispers and all that stuff. Yeah, you got to get past us. Yeah, we're going to talk about you, good or bad. Yeah. I mean, I'm just being honest. So I kept coming in here. But it wasn't happening transferring in my life. I knew I wanted to get here. I didn't want to mess this thing up. I didn't want to mess up. I finally got my hands on something good. And I was afraid. I was scared. And then our first evidence ain't where we were that counts. It's where we are going. I was afraid to allow God to take me somewhere where I ain't never been. I was scared, man. I said, I'm going to mess this up. But I kept coming back and something was happening. I read the second tradition. It's even if we by nature. I'm not going to apologize for the literature. No, I'm not. It's by nature. Strong-willed, self-centered people. Yeah, who mismanage their lives, who were thrust together in here. Y'all disrespectful, you living ungodly, you a kid, you live or die. Y'all went to church, you don't pray. Now he said, I'm going to put all y'all ungodly people together. Yeah, because know why? And I'm going to be the spirit to speak through y'all. And know why? Because you can't make a conscious decision. You make a conscious decision. On a consistent basis. So we're going to make some basis. We're going to make some mistakes and come in here. So I kept coming back and something was happening. This power was working in my life. He said, you can use this power long before you even understand. I didn't understand what the power was doing. I never had a problem with God. I had a problem being obedient to God because I had abandoned my spirit. I can come in here and shout this good, wonderful stuff, how many women you slept with, how much money you had. I ain't never had no whole lot of crack or no sell, no weight. I had a damn working dime. Damn. A working dime. Yeah, I ain't never seen so many kingpins till I got the knockout and on. Everybody still got damn weight. Nobody ain't going to store, nobody ain't watch no cars, nobody ain't do none of that there. Oh, I'm the only one. Okay, alright. Yeah, you got here. So now all of a sudden this kind of power begin to work in my life. Say, hold up now, Ron, you gotta make a decision. You gotta make a decision. If I begin to reflect back and think, hold up, Ron, you didn't get you out that alley. You didn't get you out there, alley, because there was times they would jump out on the corner, and I would say, man, we would all scatter, and I would say, hold up, you know what, we ran. How do you know you made it? How do you know you when you turn your will of life over to the care of God? How do you know? They said, we practice the rest of the remaining steps, starting with step four. I got to go on the inside and get you the pure, healthy spirit where the core lies at. I got to peel back the onion and get you with the spirit where the core lies at there. Yeah, even though you're telling it to God, you can tell it to your sponsor, but hold up, you got to look at it right there. See, because all of a sudden, I got to go inside because there's some scum and some grit and some grime and some residue that's set up under there. I know y'all know about residue. It's set up under there. And that's why I got to admit to God and another human being to come down and do surgery on my spirit and cut away so I can go in and ask God to remove these defects. No, the defects ain't got nothing to do with my... What does my disease have to do with my defects? My defects is a self-centeredness. Basic human traits that's blown out of proportion. I was exposed to a lot of behavior from the environment that I grew up in. I ran into some of y'all and y'all taught me that stuff. I ain't how to smoke no crack. I ain't how to roll no reefer. But my life is better now. I'm a better uncle, man. I'm a better father, man. I got two little nephews, but I still use character defects. You know, they like Uncle Bud. I be getting them candy and stuff, you know. They Uncle Bud, I be getting them candy and stuff, you know. But I'm there. They can find me today. They can find me today. So they give me this 5 minute thing, and yeah, they got 5 minutes up here, but I'm gonna be obedient. Yeah, I'm gonna be obedient, and cause damn, I ain't even smoking no crack with them. They putting me out. Damn, I'm out of here, man. It's terrible, man. All right, great job, man. Hey, man, I want to thank you all for being here, man. I'm grateful, man. I'm glad you was all here, man. And thank you all the time who dug the trenches that made it more easy for a guy like me. My name's Ron. I'm grateful for coming here. Thank you, God, man. Yeah.